Matthew 27. We begin a few minutes with verse 39, reading down through verse 44. And I want to speak to you on the gifts to a thief. And I do trust the Lord will make it profitable for your eternal soul. Would you bow with me as we join together in prayer? My Father, your servant of old, mentioned how good and how sweet it was for brethren to meet together in unity. And our hearts on one topic, Thee, O Lord. And it could be that, and it is that, has been that, for years, and shall continue to be. To all your children in fellowship with Thee. Father, I pray that you might open hearts today and see the magnificence of the love, the mercy, the grace, the compassion, the pity of our Lord Jesus, and what He did and what He accomplished. And we do not as of yet know the end of His accomplishments, but that won't be till the world is no longer. Just enable us to turn our eyes there. And see the King. The King in His glory and in all His beauty. Well, I cannot use the word all when speaking of Him. We only know in part. But just focus our hearts and minds, spiritual eyes there, and give us spiritual ears to hear. May Christ our Lord be magnified here, this hour, in this place, to this body of believers, and to others scattered around. Dear Lord, help for Thy name's sake, and call those that do not yet know Thee, to true repentance and true faith. And for that you do for us, just remind us where we'll stop after the service and thank Thee for the good gifts from above. Help your children magnify our Lord and get honor and glory to Thy name, which can only be by Thy Spirit working and being in our midst. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Matthew 27, beginning with verse 38. I said 39. This is the cross, Christ on the cross. Verse 38, Matthew 27. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will save him. For he said, I am the Son of God. These also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now the verse that I said of Mark, I didn't mention it, but it was Mark 15. They that were crucified with him, speaking of the two thieves, they reviled him. And revile and cast in the teeth is the same, are the same words. Now there are two men on each side of the Lord Jesus that day, both in the same condition, both with no possibility of escape. Now there had been a report of or two of some surviving, and after a lengthy time on the cross, they just took them down. But these weren't coming down, not until they were dead. Children, be aware that as they that day moved into eternity, so we shall one day. James said, and when sin is finished, when it's had its work in you, if you're not a Christian, then cometh death. Paul said, Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. Both thieves knew that. And evidently they knew that eternity was just a few hours away. And the reason I said these weren't coming down is because they were going to break their legs after a lengthy time of suffering so that they would die soon by suffocation. Now with eternity staring them in the face, having no effect on either, neither could get past the physical pain. And what's the difference in them and most today? Eternity? Death? We can't and won't think about it, contemplate it. We got too many other things we need to be doing. And you said or you heard, I'm going to wait. I'll be saved even if I wait to my deathbed. And then when I'm dying, I will receive Jesus. I've quoted to you, paraphrased probably many times, several times, the words of J.C. Ryle. There was only one deathbed repentance recorded in the Scripture. Only one. That none might despair, any of you that desire, might not despair. But he went on, but there was only one that no one might presume. Most folk believe today that salvation, when and where they are saved, lies within them. They have that ability. I'll make that choice when I'm ready. And to them, deciding to become a Christian is no more than deciding to get a drink of water because you're thirsty. But something happened to one of those thieves that day. What was the difference? Nothing to begin the day. Nothing for a lengthy period of time on the cross. But something happened to one. Luke 23. Now, I told you the title. To one man, he was given gifts. One thief. Now, in Matthew 27, both men cast in the teeth. Both of them reviled him. The only thing they had in mind when they were hanging there for some time was, get us down off the cross. The pain is too great. Neither of them considering just a short time you'll be in eternal pain. But something happened to one of them. Luke 23:39 and following. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condition? Now what happened? Matthew 27, they were both in the same condition, railing on him. And now one of them is talking about fearing God. You think he had a change of heart there on that cross? Well, evidently he did. Do you think it lay within him the ability to change his own heart? Verse 41. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour. And there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Right before the darkness set in, with one thief having a change of heart and mind. Three things I want to set before you. You know the first two. You know them well. A must in every conversion. First two gifts. Well, before he ever had a change of mind or change of heart, and he replied back to the thief, one thief, on the other side, Jesus, don't you know we're both in the same condition? Hell, death, sin, these were not on his mind to begin with. So there had to be, first of all, a work of the Spirit making him a living soul. Now sometimes there was a work of the Spirit giving life. And that sinner coming to the Lord Jesus is not instantaneously or in the same hour. Sometimes there's a distance between a man having life, having been given life, and a man finding repentance. I've told you about Brother Hubert often would say, he spent months and months in agony and turmoil, seeking forgiveness, trying to find forgiveness, God being merciful unto him. And for months that went on. He's not the only one that I've heard say that. So shortly after this man had been given life, had to be, dead men can't hear. Had to be, for dead men cannot act as far as repentance and believing. And I read you both in Luke 23. We're in the same condition, but we're here for a reason. We are sinners. We're paying our debt to society. He found out he was a sinner that day. And he found out who Jesus was. Lord, remember me. But he said before that to the other thief, this man hath done nothing amiss. That is, he's dying having never committed sin. But he's dying. He's paying a sin debt. Faith and repentance, again I remind you, both are of the Lord. Lord, remember me. He said, Saul of Tarsus, now Paul, from house to house, went testifying to the Jews and Greeks, repentance toward God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Both the gifts of God. And in Acts 16, then hath God granted, God gave to the Gentiles repentance unto life. So that man knew, number one, I'm a sinner. Number two, that man there in the middle, he is an innocent being. And he is God. Only God can save. I'm condemned justly. I committed the crimes that I'm paying for here dying. That man is the Lord. But both were given to him before darkness. And I want to bring that out shortly. But I want you to think about this. After all three had been nailed to the cross, and all three in horrible pain. I mean, the cross was an awful, awful death. And it was revived again in the 1500s by Japan, putting to death Christians. But that's the last we had of it. But it was a horrible, horrible way to die. That cross in the middle raised. There was a body they could identify with him in excruciating pain. Only one thing on their minds at the beginning, and it had nothing to do with eternal torment, but on temporal pain. And they, with the scribes and the Pharisees, if you're who you say you are, come down off the cross. And you getting down off the cross, get us down also. The only thing they had in mind was, get us out of this pain. Take away the pain. Some folks make a commitment, but they return back to the same lifestyle. And some in difficult straits say, if I get out of this, I'm going to change. And they do for a period, some forever. But most, their life goes back. Usually it is, as Peter said in 2 Peter 2, it happened unto them according to the true proverb, that the dog is turned again to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed wallowing in the mire. Now right before darkness set in, in the last 3 hours of the life of Jesus, one thief had been given life. He had been granted repentance, and he had been granted faith. Now in John, skip past it. In John, in John 12, Jesus, verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Children, all of you will have to admit this. All of you as a Christian, you'll have to admit this. That there has not been greater light shown in this world since you came to Christ. No greater light out there. This also you will have to admit, that since you came to Christ, be it many years ago, or 5 or 6, the world has gotten darker. And when God shuts off the light, no one can be saved. And that thief, right before the world was in darkness, because the light of the world was being put out there on that cross, he got in just shortly before darkness set in. Don't wait, folks. Don't keep putting this off. Well, I don't know that the Lord will save me. I do. You did hear the devotion, didn't you? He will receive any and all sinners that come. And I give you another word in that. All sinners shall be saved. You say, well, I know a lot of sinners that aren't saved and many that I'm sure never will be. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when one finds out he or she's a sinner, they're on the road to salvation. And all sinners, he came to save sinners. And right before the light goes completely out, it did shine in that thief's heart. Lord, remember me. And not only did he have spiritual life there that day, but at death he had eternal life. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But I want to give you one other thing that he saw that we never will. There have been glimpses of it throughout time. But the vastness of a Savior's heart, you'll never see. If in your lifetime it cost you to verbally say, I am a Christian, I'm convinced that you will find something of Christ in that hour that you never knew in life. There will be a nearness. There will be such fullness in your heart of the Lord Jesus that it doesn't matter what they do to you. He said that a lot of men and women, they sought to die a martyr's death. Now that's not scriptural. Paul fled when they were trying to kill him. But those that did, by being faithful to declare God's word or for their testimony, it did cost them. And the testimony in the fire, the testimony drowning by water, the testimony being thrown to lions' dens, being beheaded, they had a nearness of Christ in presence that we don't know anything about. But here, there's one man that saw and found something that day. Looking at that man in anguish, excruciating pain, not even having the figure and shape of a human being, but that man, that thief, saw something. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends. For the hand of God hath touched me, Job said. And there was the Lord Jesus in agony. Physical. You know what happens, and these girls here will have to give you vessel construction or vessel-like constriction is simply this. When your body gets in pain, the smaller blood vessels, say those in your skin, they begin to contract, and the blood leaves rushing to your head or to your heart, causing high blood pressure, all because of pain. When Jesus was in the garden, unlike us, his blood flowed out of him, where if we had been in that torment, knowing what was coming, and knowing what his father would do to him, then our blood would have gone to our heart. His dropped out on the ground because of his heart. A heart as tender, as loving, as merciful, as kind, was shown one that previously derided him and cursed him and said, if you be who you say you are. And after all he had done, and that man looking there at that figure of a human being on that middle cross, and he heard, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. In his greatest agony, in the complete forsaking of his father, dying as a sinner, not that he ever committed one sin, but he took yours if you make it into heaven. And in all that anguish, he ought to have died on the way to the cross. Some died because of the lashes, the old cat of nine tails. And in all that agony, that thief heard, you'll be with me today. We're about to die, but you'll be with me. Do you get a glimpse of your Lord's heart? I mean, we get in pain. But our blood pressure increases. And he gets in a pain we'll never know anything about. And his blood drops to the ground. And there was such love and compassion in an hour when his father had forsaken him. And that thief knew a little about the pain on the cross, but he found out something about that heart that he looked on him in mercy and in pity. And I despise verging on hatred. If I'm wrong, Lord, forgive me. Verging on hatred of these Christian, quote-unquote, evangelists and pastors. All you hear from them is Jesus loves you. If you want to be saved, call this number or write me here. There'll be someone to pray with you. He loves you. That's all you hear. But they leave you with it. Jesus wants to, but he can't. And that's why I say it's almost a hatred to hear them blaspheme that worthy name that paid such a price that you could be forgiven. And it wasn't up to you. God had to quicken you and make you alive before you could ever repent. Then God had to give you repentance. God had to give you life before you could ever believe. Lazarus had to be a living being in that grave. when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, this crowd, Jesus wants to save you, but you won't let him. They're going to face the wrath of the Lamb one day. Well, that's pretty bold of you. No, it's not. It's just common sense. Unless God saves them and gives them an insight into who Jesus is in their salvation, they're going to end up in hell. But that thief, he had a love manifest from one, and I can use the word, in eternal agony. An infinite agony. I can't explain that, but I know it is so. But I want to begin closing out now with what he missed. Because he died. And he found salvation and forgiveness and faith. And he found out the heart of that man in the middle. I was cursing a while ago, telling him if he was who he said he was, come down, get me down. But I'm guilty. He's not. You'll never know that to that extent. But he missed this, which every child of God will experience, some greater. He missed a warfare that exists in a Christian between his flesh, his old nature, and the Spirit, the old man and the new man. Living after the flesh, now living after the Spirit. And we're all like Paul. When I would do good, evil is present with me. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin. That's me. I'm always in a warfare, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? You've had few prayers, few, if any, that your old nature didn't rise. And you'd be talking to God one minute, and the next minute would be what was on your schedule today and what you had to take care of. And you have to call your mind back into, I'm talking to God. But my mind keeps wandering. And you sit down on these pews and when we begin with a devotion, you might have a mind and a heart devoted to being in the worship service. But here you begin going after this and that and the other, and the mind running down this little rat hole and that little rat hole, and You end with an alertness. You wake up and said, what am I doing? This is the house of God. This is where, in all places and of all places, I ought not to have a wandering mind. And yet you do. And just so you'll know, the only reason I know you do is because I do. You pick up your Bible and there's some verses in there that is as sweet as you've ever read before. And there was a light that zoomed in on a particular verse. You thought, I'll go over here and read this little part now. And it is as closed, as dry, and as dead, lifeless. Now you can't wonder. I mean, you can't imagine. How was it I obtained in that chapter? And in these two chapters, I didn't get one thing out of it. You have an old fallen nature in opposition to the things of the Spirit of God. He missed that. You say, well, that would be a good thing. That he missed the battles? Evidently not. Because he that doeth all things and doeth them all good, whether you realize it or not, he's left you in that body of sin. The thief didn't have to worry about that. No more battles for him. His body is about to be put in the grave. Well, it seemed like it'd be a good thing for me to miss some of these battles. Children, they are designed for God, for His glory, and for your good. Please don't pick up your Bible and think that you of yourself, I'm fixing to read two chapters, think that you're going to get anything out of those two chapters. It's just not going to happen. God must give you a heart, open your eyes, and shine light in your heart from that you've read. These battles have strengthened. You find out, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. You can. And how our Lord Jesus is magnified when the last ounce of your spiritual strength seems almost gone. It was that to the disciples in that storm. And it was the storm. It was the storm that made the words of the one headed to them out there on that sea. When they heard his voice, it is I. It was the storm that they were in that magnified the voice of their God to them. And it was those high waves and that strong wind and rough sea that the disciples said, we better get him awake. And sometimes you go without the Lord, and all of a sudden there'll be a crisis. But they woke the Lord that day, and he stepped out and said, peace, waves be still, and wind cease. Do you think he would have been magnified as he was when he said that and the wind stopped blowing and that sea became as smooth sailing as if it was a clear crystal water? And I give you one last. When you read of such a man like Paul, Acts 27. Acts 27, verse 20, 21. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we, now that's the apostle, we, all hope from all that were in this ship that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. It was hope being taken that drove Paul away from the company of all others. And it drove him to his secret chamber. Now, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and who have gained this loss. I said, 21, 22, 23. And now I exhort thee, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. The storm, the hope being taken, drove that man to some secret place, private place, where he was all alone. And God heard him, and an angel stood by him that night and said, Don't fear. Not only are you going to stand, but I'm going to give you all, God's going to give you all these that are sailing with you. And you're in a storm. You see no way of getting out. It's going to destroy you. No way of getting out. Hope gone. Despair is setting in. Am I a child of God? Could it be that I'm not a child of God and these things happening to me? Or you get all alone. And you come out of that storm. And that old suffering, downcast, loss of hope sank. Stood before them, be of good cheer. Your daily struggles, your doubts, your fears, times when it's as if faith is non-existent in your life or in your heart. Why? What have I done? Where did I miss God? See, Christians, you got to go through what the old soldiers did called boot camp. And that soldier comes out of that. He's a trained service member. And you go off and you're in a greater battle now. And you're seeing those around you begin to die. God spared you and you get back home. Now what you've experienced, you can say to that weak, trembling little Lamb of God, be of good cheer. God delivered me from the great storm. He will you. But see, you wouldn't have had anything to tell the younger Christians if you weren't a saint that had been in the battle, in the storms. How often have you heard, possibly even said, after a long, long, hard day at work, nothing went right, the boss was ill. No, nothing personal there now on Tim Brown for you that worked for him. So I didn't say that. But the boss is ill. You get home, everything's chaotic there. The wife or the husband or the children, everything's wrong. You thought, maybe even said, I didn't need that. I didn't need, I've had a rough enough day. Well, evidently you did, or it wouldn't have happened. But God sent it to instruct, to teach, that someday you might be a help to other little ones coming on behind you. Folk, these young folks, they need some examples. And they need some that's been in the storm and come out victorious. Some that's been in boot camp. Now, can you imagine Job? One day, one of his servants, only one not killed, they come and say to Job, he comes and says to Job, the Sabaeans came. We were plowing with your oxen, but they're all taken, and all your servants but me are killed. Or the fire of God has fallen from heaven. It's burned up your sheep and your servants. Your camels were stolen, your servants slain. And then your sons and daughters were all killed. And he walked in the door and the wife said, you miserable, miserable failure. Why don't you just curse God and die? Do you think Job said, I didn't need that from my wife? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We all think God's in control when things are going well, but you let opposition set in, and immediately we begin to think, I don't know if God's in control of all things. And folks, the thief missed these things, but heaven will be enhanced to the old seasoned warrior, the old veteran serviceman that came back and teaches and helps others. These all are in your life that we as the wife, you as a church, you ought to reflect that to your heavenly bridegroom. And you as husbands, you ought to reflect Christ in your language, in your deeds, in everything. But the thief missed developing because he missed trials, warfare, doubts, sometimes murmuring. He missed all that. And because he missed those things, he missed developing that eternal relationship where he found Christ to be a friend beyond and above all others. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And as much as he saw of the Savior's heart that day and experienced of the Savior's heart, he missed a lifetime of the manifestation of walking with his Savior. And that love affair growing and strengthening, he missed that. So children, walk with him as much as you can, commune with him as often you can, and obey this one whose heart was manifest to such an extent beyond what we'll know to the thief, but we know a little and something of that. So obey him, walk with him, and may you end up with an old heart that has swollen and is in such close akin to your Lord. And you don't know how that love was increased to that extent. And to you, his heart does get bigger and bigger and bigger. And his love, it's greater than ever you'll know. But it's greater after 20 years of walking with him than after 6 months. It's greater after 50 years than it was in 20 years. He's in control of the storms, children. And he's a precious, precious Savior.